So I believe that this is the rhema word that God has for us today. Are you ready for it? Yes. Amen? For this year. For this year. Praise God. All right, let's go to Ecclesiastes 9:11. So even as I say 9:11, y'all think of, we are the generation that saw 9/11. We passed 9/11, which is a very sad day, a tragic day for all of us. It changed the world, literally. But then, in America, their emergency number for help is also 911. The Psalm of Protection of all the entire book of Psalms, which Psalm is the Psalm of Protection? Psalms 91. And Psalms 91 talks about protection 24/7. The sun will not, it says the Lord will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. All right. The Lord will protect you, be it in the morning or in the evening. Amen. By day or by night. All kinds of affliction, whether the attack come from around you, from below you, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion, serpent, you shall trample underfoot. All these are pictures of authority over the powers of darkness. Amen. No evil will befall you. It ends off with saying, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. But it begins with Psalms 9:1:1, verse 1. And you see what 9:1:1 there? And it says what? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. Shadow is the place of protection. In the Old Testament, the shelter, the shadow means you are so close to someone, he protects you. His shadow covers you. Amen? So the Bible says, he who dwells, actually the word dwell there in the Hebrew is the word sit down. If you learn to rest in his presence, his protection covers you. Amen? So here, Psalms, Ecclesiastes 9:1:1. I return. Now, Solomon is writing this by the Holy Spirit, the wisest man that ever lived, besides Jesus, of course. I return and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. So he's saying this, guys, if the truth is known, I've observed this. And remember, he asked God for wisdom and became the wisest man, right? And he says, I've observed this. The race is not always to the swift. The World Cup is not always to the better team. Yeah, you might be for France, but I want you to know something. My team won. Hallelujah. Amen. Messi. Amen. It's not a matter of how old Messi is. The race is not to the swift, not a battle to the strong. Amen. Nor bread to men of to wise men, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. We've seen this time and time again, that people with less experience sometimes bump into someone, and in the course of the conversation later on, come and work for me, come over. We have so many testimonies like this in our church. Doesn't mean that the person has the most experience. Doesn't mean he's the strongest, the best, the wisest. That favor happens to him. But time and chance happen to them all. Amen? Now, the word time here, I'm going to share with you some Hebrew. Today, we're going to learn some Hebrew, right? And some Greek. And then another principle we'll learn. And all this got to do with the theme of the year and what God's going to do this year for you. We're also going to learn about the first mention of any subject in the Bible. When the Bible mentions a subject for the first time in the Bible, it's always something significant, something, a truth we can draw from that will guide us in its interpretation for the rest of the Bible. All right? So look for the first mention. Amen. The first mention of healing, for example, is Abraham, who lied about his wife. That's why his wife was found in the harem of a king. And he lied about it, and God appeared to the king in a dream and says, you're a dead man. This is another man's wife. And so I didn't know it. In my integrity, I thought, you know, she was the sister. That's why he said, this is my sister. And God says, I know that you did not know it. So now restore the man his wife, for he's a prophet. The man just lied. He called him a prophet. So God saw Abraham righteous because of not earned righteousness, but imputed righteousness, which all of you, you have it. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ, God sees you righteous. You're facing this year as a righteous man, as a righteous woman. And all the blessings of the righteous is yours. It is not a righteousness that you have earned. It's not a righteousness that you deserved. It's a righteousness that has been given to you by grace. Amen. And we receive it, praise the Lord, through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, time and chance happen to them all. The word here, time, in the Hebrew, is the word iv. Say iv. That's how you pronounce it. Time is pronounced as iv. All right? Just think of iv and you got it right. Okay? Time and chance happens to them all. The word chance is pega, happen to them all. It's a special happening. It's a right happening. And the Hebrew word for happen there is kara. Now say kara. So just remember ev and kara. Now this is Old Testament. Your Old Testament is in Hebrew. Okay, your New Testament is in Greek. We all read our Bibles in English for the most part, right? But the original language is in Old Testament is Hebrew, in New Testament is Greek. Just remember that, okay? Right. So now you look at time and chance happen to them all. We want this right timing to happen to us. We want this right happening to happen to us because we know that finally the one who wins the race is not necessarily the fastest one. The one who wins the battle is not necessarily the strong one like David over Goliath. It's not a matter of favor goes to the one with skill or riches to men of understanding or wise men, right? But time, ev and kara happen to them all. Okay, so what is this? What is this? It's got to do with the theme of the year. Okay, so now sit back, watch. The Kairos year of right time, right place. Right time in the Hebrew is the word ev. In the Greek, ev is Kairos. That's why it's a Kairos year of right time, right place. Right place is kara. I'm going to study this because it's very interesting and God will unveil to us. Even for your own life, already you have seen this phenomenon taking place in your life. I believe even recently you have seen yourself being at the right time, at the right place. All of a sudden you meet an acquaintance or you meet an old friend and a door is open to you. Or you invite an old classmate that you met, okay? Old one, huh? Okay, a young one, all right? A young classmate you met, all right? Who used to be in the same school 50 years ago, all right? So you invite him over to church, and I've heard this kind of testimonies down through the years, and good things happen to these people, all because you had a chance encounter with them. Or is it really chance? Like the word time and chance, it's unfortunate the English word used chance, but remember, it is not the English word that is the word that tells the real meaning, but it is the Hebrew. What the Hebrew says is kara. Amen. Right time, right place. God's going to make things happen to you. Right time, right place. So the word F first. Let's study the word right timing. Right timing. A lot of things depend on right timing. So can we, with our smarts, with our intelligence, position ourselves in such a way that things can happen for us and we are aware of the right timing? People try that all the time. You know, they want to get involved in an investment at the right time, and or they want to be in a certain place at the right place. You know, they want to be in that position where they are ready to receive a benefit or something, or even encounter their life partner. They want that to happen to them. But friend, once when you think about it, when you realize that it is beyond man's intellect, it's beyond man's disposing of his affairs. It's not within man to put himself in the right place at the right time. Even averting tragedy, for example, no one can tell, right? Which plane might not make it? All the, you can be a guy who tops the Mensa test and your IQ is really high. Doesn't really matter. You cannot control your right time and your right place. You need God. So more than ever this year, we need the Lord. And not just the Lord, we need His grace. In what aspect to trust the Lord? His grace. Because you see, if grace is unearned and undeserved favor, then the only way to frustrate grace, grace is another word for favor from God, and grace is unearned, undeserved favor, the only way you can frustrate it is trying to earn it. But whether you are trying your best to earn it with your good behavior or whatever it is, Apostle Prince, are you saying that we don't have to have good behavior? No, of course not. But you don't have a good behavior to try to get close to God. You must realize that you are close to God. That's why your good behavior flows from there. I met a brother recently, just last few days, and we were talking about prayer, and he was telling me about prayer and all that. And I told him this: try this approach, all right, and see what happens. Instead of praying and straining as if you are trying to draw close to God, God has already made it very easy for you to come to Him. Amen. In fact, the Bible says, for those who are believers in Christ, He has placed you in His Son. That's why the phrase, we are in Christ Jesus. In Christ, in Him, through Him. Amen. We are forevermore, God will see you always in Christ. When God sees you, God doesn't look at you with all your faults and shortcomings today. God looks at Jesus to see Him as you. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you pray, how do you pray? You pray as if you're in Christ. And honestly, folks, let me just submit this to you. Sometimes we put the name of Jesus like this in prayer. We pray whatever we pray, say, in Jesus' name. Now, I'm not against that, okay? But actually, the idea of whatever you ask the Father in my name is actually like as if I am praying it. And when you pray, you need to be aware your prayer carries the same values, the same power as if I am praying. Amen. If you pray like that, that's praying in my name, representing me, just as I represent you. You follow what I'm saying so far? Does God answer Jesus' prayer? Yeah. Amen. Of course. And now your prayer is like Jesus' prayer. Praise the Lord. That's praying in His name. Now, I didn't say you cannot punctuate it with in Jesus' name. By all means, that's how the church for many years have been praying. But I think it's more than just that. It is actually knowing that it's as if Jesus is praying. So I told him this. How about praying like this? Every time you say Father, instead of saying Father, like so far away, just say, Father, know that you're very close. Now watch what you say, because everything you say, He's hearing and He will answer. You have very close access to the one with whom nothing is impossible. How about putting prayer like that? Because you know what? That's the truth. That's the truth. Amen.